All rise. Ding, 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 ding. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Doc Nick.
Doc Nick.
I'm lazy. I haven't had my coffee yet.
You said two breaks ago you were going to get coffee. It's time for the Crunch Exchange, where I bring up a prospectus from the world of sports, and Steve tells us if he's going to be buying or selling on it, and he tends to use the pending option a lot when I ask these questions, too. We begin with the hot stove that has been anything but. Manny Machado and Bryce Harper have yet to sign, and there hasn't even been a lot of talk about how much money either were signed for. It seems to me that Harper is waiting on Machado to sign, so Harper can then ask for just $1 more on his deal. The new favorite for signing Machado are the Chicago White Sox, whose main game plan for signing Machado has been to make the whole team a pseudo-family reunion. The White Sox have done their due diligence. They've offered the two-time Gold Glove winner $175 million over 7 years to move to the AL Central. Now, that's a lot of money, but Manny thought Machado would be closer to the $200 million range or above. Seems like the new norm for baseball. One team offers a lot less than what the player really wants, and then the player gets to choose between a lot less money or no money by not playing. The leaked offer could also drive up the price on Machado if more teams realize they can offer more money, and importantly, not be the White Sox. It's a big up for Machado if he doesn't want to play there. The prospectus. Manny Machado will sign for more than $175 million.
Yeah, I think I'm actually going to buy that. First of all, they're a 100-loss team. I think he's going to get more per year. And if he gets a sixth year, that's more. So buy it.
Big shout out to Dave yesterday, who called in and introduced us to the Baseball Hall of Fame tracker at bbhoftracker.com. Tracks all of the public ballots from the Baseball Writers and the Baseball Writers Association of America, who are voting on the players that are eligible to make the Hall of Fame. When last updated, 44% of the votes were in. Curt Schilling, 74.6, Roger Clemens, 73.5, and Barry Bonds, 72.9, are hovering around the coveted 75% threshold. Whether it be because there are less old crusty curmudgeons, people upset that Bud Selig is in the Hall of Fame and allowed steroid users to take over the game, or Harold Baines is allowed in, this trio is picking up a lot more votes than in previous years. I know you think they can go in now because your sacred hall has been tainted, but there are still about 300 people that haven't voted or just haven't released their ballot yet. The prospectus. Come January 22nd, when the Hall of Fame class is announced, all three of Clemens, Schilling, and Bonds will be in the 2019 class.
Wow. That's one of the best questions we've been asked, I believe.
Wow. Writing that down.
I'm going to hang out on a limb and say one in, all in, with what's happened with this ridiculous modern era Mickey Mouse BS ruined Cooperstown forever. Screw it. I'll buy that. They're all in.
Jalen Hurts entered the transfer portal, and at the other end, he ended up in Norman, Oklahoma. Hurts was one of the most sought-after transfers in college because he's 26-2 at a starter, immediately eligible to play, and an incredibly talented quarterback. He'll be matched up with Lincoln Riley, who is the ultimate transfer quarterback whisperer. Baker Mayfield transferred from Texas Tech, Kyler Murray from Texas A&M, and they both went back-to-back as Heisman winners. The Big 12 has been in the college football playoff in those years thanks to Oklahoma and their Heisman winners, but the conference isn't the strongest. It's a conference where you can lose while scoring 55 or more points, which is gonna hurt the chances of them making the playoffs. But even still, Oklahoma had the 94th ranked defense, and that offense kept them afloat last year. The prospectus: Hurts leads the Sooners to the playoff for the third straight year.
Wow. And they have to do a remake of that Automatic for the People album, R.E.M. We got Jalen Hurts. We got Jalen Hurts. Big 12 next year. I know a lot of people are going to be on the Texas bandwagon. I think Lincoln Riley is wise enough to realize his strength and improve the defense. I still think Oklahoma will win the Big 12. Get to the playoff. You know what? I'm just going to take the safe play and sell that. Ooh. Because, I mean, unless you're Alabama or Clemson, I don't think anybody's got a 50-50 shot, so I'm just playing the odds.
There you go. The Los Angeles Lakers are struggling. They've been struggling since Christmas after LeBron James's groin injury that might be one of the handful of injuries he's ever had that's kept him off the court. The Lakers have fallen from third in the West to now eighth, including losses to the Knicks and the Cavaliers, both at the Staples Center. In the next three games, the Lakers are taking on the Thunder, the Rockets, and the Warriors, and they're not going to have James for any of them. Kyle Kuzma and Brandon Ingram are averaging more than 15 a game, and Lonzo Ball has been struggling scoring, only 9.8, so the rest of the team hasn't been all that good. LeBron isn't lost for the rest of the year. Some could argue this time off is going to be needed to make up for the extra three seasons worth of games he's been playing the playoffs in his career, and just before the injury, the Lakers seem to have had everything figured out. The Lakers are tied for eighth, only a half game ahead of the Kings in ninth, but because it's the West and the West is best, they're also one game back in the win column of the Rockets, who are in fourth. The prospectus, the Lakers finish in the top half of the Western Conference.
So that means they're going to make the playoffs?
Yes, but will they make the playoffs fourth or better?
Fourth or better.
Top half of the Western Conference. Fourth or better.
You know, again, I'm going to play the odds, because if you told me they were getting LeBron back in 8 days and he's only going to miss three more games, they'd be 500. Nah, I'm going to sell that. I think the injury is has done too much damage to them already.
The AFC Championship game is going to be a wild one. An Arctic blast is coming in from the north, and I'm not talking about the Patriots. A literal Arctic blast is going to hit Kansas City, bringing near 0 degree temperatures, wind chill pushing things well below zero, and many feet of snow. On top of that, there's also going to be a full lunar eclipse during a supermoon. All of this is happening on Sunday. It's going to be so exciting. The Patriots dynasty was born in the snow, also thanks to a tuck rule and non-HD cameras. Will this potential snow game be the perfect Hollywood ending for the dynasty to end? The prospectus, because of a super moon and Arctic blast and the Patriots being bad on the road, the Chiefs win on Sunday.
Chiefs, Pats, you're making me do this too early, but I'm not betting against the Patriots in a championship game in the AFC. I'm selling that.
Last one, in the NHL, my Sharks are on a tear. They've won seven straight, haven't lost in 2019. They're 1 point behind the Calgary Flames in the Pacific with two games in hand. Erik Karlsson has been a revolution on the blue line. Seven Sharks have 10 or more goals. Seven players have over 40 points. The prospectus, the Sharks win the Pacific.
I actually, not last night, the night before, I was watching the NHL Network. I hadn't done that very, very much in a while. And, man, there were a lot of people on there who were really pleased with your San Jose Sharks.
Tiburonis.
Somebody said they don't love the goaltending. So it's going to be them or, Calgary probably?
Yeah, Vegas has been hot, too. It's going to be a tight top three.
All right. For the sake of who I would actually root for out of those three teams, I'll say go Sharks and buy that one.